making your way prosperous. Point number one, you are responsible for your prosperity. God has opened the door to our prosperity, but we must lay hold of it ourselves. And you've heard this before. We talked about this in the blood covenant. But there's a God word part. There's a part that God plays. And there's a man word part, a part that that we play in it. So there's a relationship there. And both have to do. And, of course, God is faithful. He's always going to do his part. But we need to be faithful and do our part to walk in prosperity. There's two main areas where you can miss it concerning prosperity. And I think a kind of pitfalls that people walk in. The first one is people who try to be a success. I'm talking about Christians even. They try to be a success on their own and don't get God involved. That's a mistake. And the other mistake that you can make or ditch that you can fall into, people who are waiting on God to do it for them. And there's many people like that, just waiting on something to drop out of heaven, waiting for, you know, look out in the backyard and they see money growing on their tree, but money doesn't grow on trees. And so that is a mistake also that people make. They're waiting on God to do something, and God is waiting on us to do something. All right, and again, for prosperity, there's three keys. And again, this is a whole message in itself, but there's three keys for anybody to walk in prosperity. You're going to have desire for it, a strong desire. You have to make a decision to walk in prosperity. This is a commitment to be able to handle God's resources. And you have to be determined, because there's going to be some ups and downs along the way. I wish I could stand before you to say in the last 20 years, it's all been just smooth sailing for me. But there has been some ups and there's been some downs. But you have to be determined to stick with it. So make a decision, have desire, and be determined. The secrets to living the prosperous life are hidden in the Word of God. Let's look over in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now just hold your place there and turn over to Joshua 8. And let's see if Joshua did this, because Joshua was a very successful leader. And let's see if he obeyed the Lord. Joshua 8, verse 34. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. He was a hearer and a doer of God's word. It was important for him. The book of the law, God's word. It was important to read it and keep it before the people. So what is he saying here? Back to Joshua 1 here. The book of the law, again, talking about the word of God, that would be the word of God for us, shall not depart from your mouth. What you're talking about, what you're saying, the things that you're speaking in your life, the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What are the most important things in your life you talk about? You have it on your lips. And he is saying here, that it's very important to have God's word in your mouth, to be speaking God's word. And that just doesn't happen because, oh, I'm just going to start speaking God's word. No, it has to be in you. Out of the abundance of your heart, the overflow of your heart. What's in your heart is going to make its way to your lips. It's going to work good or bad. If you've got TV or movies or magazines or whatever it is, newspaper, in your heart in abundance, that's what you're going to talk about. And many of those things are the world's ways. And so if you talk about it, we know this about your words, the importance of your words. You have what you say, good or bad. So this is important. This is what Joshua said. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's constantly. You're putting it in your heart and you're speaking it. But you shall meditate in it day and night. In my cross-references here says, you shall be constantly in God's word. Constantly hearing God's word. Constantly putting God's word. And then what happens when you do that? That you may observe to do. Underline that word observe. Observe to do. And we're going to talk a lot about that tonight in all the things. It's going to be kind of a thread tonight. You may observe to do according to all that is written in it. That as you meditate, the word meditate means to revolve in your mind. It means to mutter, to speak, to think about it. And what he's saying here is you take God's word and you revolve it in your mind and you think about it and you speak it out and over and over until what happens? Until you see it. And if you can see it, then you can do it. If you can comprehend it, you can possess it. And so that's what he's talking about here. And I think this is where many Christians today are missing it concerning God's word. They may be in a lot of meetings. They may even be driving in their car, listening to tapes. Or even, you know, coming to church for every time the doors open. But you have to take what you hear and give it some extra thought, some meditation. And I think the people that are really successful in Christianity are the ones that are able to do that. To take a thought and keep going over it. Keep pounding it in there until you see it. Because when you see it, then you can do it. And look what happens in your life when you do that. For then, keeping the word in your lips, meditating on it, seeing it, for then you will make your way. You, is it God making your way prosperous? You will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. The Amplified says, you will deal wisely. You will have wisdom. You will deal wisely in the affairs of life. Anybody here want to be a success? Anybody here want to be prosperous? I do. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I want to be blessed. I want to be prosperous. Because I've learned something here, especially in the ministry. The more resources I have, the more influence I can have. And the more I'll be able to do for the kingdom of God. There's a correlation with the amount of stuff and things that you have being utilized for the kingdom of God in our ability to reach out and touch people. I'm glad we have the resources to do this radio station. I'm glad we have the resources to fix this space up and put up walls and do different things. I'm glad we've had the resources to advertise. I'm glad we had the resources to buy these chairs. Aren't you glad you have these chairs? I mean, I want to be prosperous, not for some selfish reasons, but because we can get the gospel out more effectively. So I want to be prosperous. I desire that. I desire to be blessed. I desire to walk in abundance. The basic translation says, let this book of the law ever be on your lips and in your thoughts day and night, so that you may keep with care everything in it. Then blessing will be on all your way, and you will do well. I like that. As you ponder the word in your heart and speak it to yourself, you will begin to see how to apply its principles in your life to make your way prosperous. Over in James chapter 1, it talks about being a hearer and a doer of the word of God. And it's talking about the person that's the forgetful hearer. Someone that looks in the mirror, and then they walk away and they forget what they look like. That's why we need to constantly be in the Word of God. If you're not constantly in the Word of God, you're going to forget. Some revelations are going to slip. That's why, I mean, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you just got saved, or if you're young, or if you're old, or wherever you're at. You still need to apply what the Scriptures are saying here. Joshua says to be constantly in the Word of God. I'm not talking 24 hours a day, but some part of every day should be affected by God's Word, not just Sundays and Wednesdays. And I know we're busy, but God has made a way through videos, through tapes, through books. I mean, there's no shortage of revelation. We're the most blessed generation right now concerning revelation. We're going to have to be a hearer and a doer of the Word. We've got to make a decision. We've got to put the Word of God in a place of value in our lives. And, you know, we do what we want to do. You do what you want to do. I do what I want to do. And so every one of us have to look at our lives. What are the most, you know, our priorities? What are the most important things? And if you want to be a success, this has got to be a part of being a success. If you want to be prosperous, you need to listen tonight to what I'm saying. This is from the Scriptures. And because then you'll be able to look in the perfect law of liberty, and you'll be able to see yourself as God sees you. You'll see yourself who you are in Christ. And when you see yourself as you are in Christ, you'll be able to do great things for the kingdom of God. God blesses man by causing whatever He does whatever he does to prosper. Look over in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 was one of my father-in-law's favorite chapters. We discussed this chapter many, many times. And I think it was a help to him in his life. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his desire, he hungers and thirsts for God's word. His delight is in the law, in the word of God. And in his law he meditates, there's that word again, day and night. And someone who does that shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. One translation says, brings it to maturity. You know, there's many people that they start off and they come into this the word of faith, or they hear the prosperity message, and to them it's a get-rich-quick type situation. But if that's your mentality, you'll never mature. Your harvest will never mature, because God can't bless someone he can't trust. But he can't trust. He has got to be able to trust you. So this is not a get-rich-quick scheme here. This is taking our time, building these principles line upon line, learning, growing, developing, analyzing our lives, how are we doing, where we're at, until it comes to maturity. I want to be in this for the long haul. I don't want to be someone that's just a rising star and they're here one moment and gone the next. We've seen a lot of people over the years. I've seen in the last 20 years, people that have learned some of these principles and applied them for a while, and God blessed them. But where are they now? Can't find them. Off into something else, trying some other scheme. And that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that's going to last. And God's word will last. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You need to underline he, whatever he does. That is an action. That is something that you do. And again, this goes against some people's mentality. They're just going to wait for it just to fall out of heaven. Pennies from heaven. Dollars from heaven. But that's not what it's saying here. He will bless what you do. God will give you an idea. He'll give you a direction. He'll give you a vocation. But then you need to go out and you do it one day at a time. And he will bless you as you go, as you make your way prosperous. Now, some people don't like this. Some people especially, they think that the message that we're preaching, you know, living by faith, is sitting at home watching TV and listening to tapes. That's not the message that we preach here. Involved in prosperity is hard work. We'll talk about that. It's planning. It's thinking. It's all kinds of things. Getting wise counsel. It's being led by the Spirit of God, going with peace, not just leaping out there. And so, you know, this side needs to be taught. We need to talk about this. But if you aren't doing anything, God has nothing to bless and cause to prosper. Proverbs chapter 10, let me just read this. The hand of the diligent will make him rich. That word diligent means industrious, hardworking, steady effort, careful attention to detail, paying attention to what they are doing. So many people, and again, it's just this the mentality that we have, that so many people are just doing a job and they're waiting on their big break. Just kind of doing a job, not giving it much attention. They get a paycheck, but they're waiting on that big vision, that big dream coming to pass. But they're not giving any attention where God has placed them. You have to give attention to it. Because if you don't do it over here, you're not going to do it over there. And this next scripture in Luke 16, verse 10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. But one of the definitions of being faithful, strict and thorough in the performance of a duty. Strict and thorough in the performance of a duty. And again, many, you've been given a job, you've been given an assignment, something to do, maybe something here in the church. Do you give attention to details? How is your attitude? Are you striving to get better? God's way is going from victory to victory and faith to faith and going higher and doing it better, getting better. Now, I'm telling you, if you want to be that kind of person, there's got to be something within you that you have to be your own overseer. And something within you has to move, because there's times, I've experienced this many times, where I reach a plateau and it's just like what I've been doing doesn't seem to work anymore. And I'm ready now to go to a higher level. And I've got to once again reach inside and say, make that decision. I'm going to go to a higher place. I'm not content where I am. And so I'm going to reach out and I'm going to stretch out and I'm going to go for it. And that's a motivation that has to come from within. I wish I could be the motivator for you. You know, one of these coaches and, you know, self-help, and every time you come in here, I'm just going to motivate you. And but that works. Inspiration works for a while. But in order really to go on to things of God, that motivation has to come from within you. That desire to go forward. But it starts where you're at. Now, for many people, it's a mystery why they're not prospering. But to me, it's not a mystery. It's a mystery. I'm a tither. I'm a seed sower. But you have to have this side. You cannot throw out all the other things that you've learned about the Word of God. You cannot throw Proverbs out and just take Malachi and 2 Corinthians 9. It all works together. And so much of Proverbs talks about hard work, talks about planning, talks about thinking, things through. But you have to be faithful in the little, faithful in the small things. Now, I know, anybody that's here that has any ambition, all of us want to do the great things. But in order to do the great things, there's a lot of small things on the way to the great things. If you're not willing to do the small things, you're not qualified to do the great things. If you're not willing to work your job hard right now and to really give it your all, not give it a half-hearted effort and be sloppy and just do it half-hearted and just try to get by, well, they have that standard and I'll just try to get by. Are you being faithful, strict and thorough in the performance of a duty? Are you being faithful at what you're assigned to do in the church? Are you being faithful at home? Are you being faithful on the job? Are you being faithful in the assignments God's given you? Because if you're not faithful, strict and thorough in little things, God can't give you any more. He can't entrust you anymore, because prosperity ruins the fool. And if He gives you more, God loves you. He doesn't want to ruin you. So attention to the little things. You're here tonight, you want to have your own business. You're here tonight, you want to be in the ministry. Be faithful in what is another man's. Just keep on reading in Luke 16. Be faithful in what is another man's, and He will give you what is your own. It's a principle from the Word of God. Praise God. You still glad you're here tonight? You excited about this message? Excited about this as much as you were about seed sowing and tithing and God's will is increase? Now let's talk about the anointing to increase. Look over in Deuteronomy. You know, go ahead and read about Daniel sometime. Daniel had a spirit of excellence. Read about Joseph. He had a spirit of excellence. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Excellence, striving. Excellence means to do better. Are you doing better? Young people, are you doing better in school? Are you doing better around the house? Are you doing better in handling your money? Are you doing better in being obedient to your parents? Spirit of excellence. Doing better. Faithfulness is having a spirit of excellence. Not waiting on someone else to tell you to do it. You do it because you know it's right. And then you do it and you go above and beyond. Deuteronomy 8. Talking about the anointing to increase. Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. If you begin to think that it's you, you're in trouble. If you start thinking you're the one because you're so great, because you're so smart, because you're so good looking, because of your family background, you're in a dangerous place. That's called pride. Look into yourself. And you shall remember, verse 18, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power, gives you the anointing to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. We have been given wealth, not been given wealth, but we've been given the power to get wealth. The blessing over in Malachi 3, He'll pour out a blessing. You don't have room enough to contain it. That blessing is an anointing. It's a power. It's a force. It's an ability. It's God's ability working through you. A power is ability, capacity, strength, force. I like that word force. It's a means. It's substance, endurance. The purpose for prosperity, I talked about it earlier. The purpose for prosperity is to establish or confirm God's covenant with man. You know, and again, in my 20 years, I mean, again, when I met Susie, I had my duffel bag. God has blessed me. But that's not what I'm in this for. I'm not in this for houses and cars and clothes and big bank accounts. Now, those things, I mean, thank God, are coming in my life. But those things don't have me. I'm in it for the kingdom of God, the plan of God, and to influence this world with the gospel. When God's people prosper, it is a sign to the world of His blessing and favor on His people. Remember Joseph? The king, Pharaoh, recognized that favor, that anointing, the glory of God upon Joseph. And it's a demonstration of His goodness. The anointing comes upon believers to enable them to increase to a greater degree than they could by their own natural ability. Now, I'm standing here before you tonight, and I probably have, and I've got a master's degree in business. I've got other, you know, degree in history, accounting, minor in political science. I got about, I don't know how many years of education. But I'm telling you, pastoring this church, I got beyond all that about the second year in the ministry. And thank God for that. I mean, I believe that was God's will for me to have that training. But if you think that training has anything to do with the success of this church, you're mistaken. Because if it was up to just me and my abilities, this church would be in the gutter, would be in the hole. But it's because of the anointing. And I realize that. I realize this. He's given me the ability. I'm a pastor. And in me are the gifts to pastor. It's an anointing. It's something given by God. And I recognize that. It's not me. It's that gift working through me. I remember my brother Pat worked for a company called Harrison House. Many of the books that we have in our resource center are from Harrison House, or Honor Books, or Aubrey Press. And Pat started out with that company. Again, had no college training. He started off as a telemarketer. And I told you this story. He's the guy that I walked up on and came over to his office, and I came up to his desk and his cubicle, whatever, and I just saw these legs sticking out underneath the desk. And he was under there with his headset on, selling people all over the country. It's just the way he did it. But I watched as he began to apply these principles, God began to increase him and prosper him to the point that he was ahead of one of their companies. In the natural, did not have the training, did not have the schooling to be able to do what he was doing. God blessed him. God prospered him. God increased him. And right now he's working for another company up in Minnesota, vice president up there. And again, I attribute it to this, the anointing. It's not him. It's the anointing of God. But I tell you, as I've been pastoring and even before I pastored, I believe what the Word said in Deuteronomy 8. I believe what Acts chapter 1 says. I believe I'm anointed. If you want to be a success, you're going to have to believe that you're anointed. That you're anointed by God. That He has rubbed Himself on you and smeared Himself on you. And you need to begin to believe, because many people believe whatever they touch doesn't prosper. Whatever they touch fails. But you need to believe, because of that anointing on you, you've been given this supernatural ability, ability beyond your ability, and that whatever you touch prospers. It is a mindset. It is an attitude. It is the way that you carry yourself. And you just expect things to work. Even in the midst of problems, Because there's going to be problems. Anybody that's doing anything for God, Satan is not going to just sit back and let you just go about your business. He's going to do every little thing he can to stop you. But thank God that the anointing removes the burden, destroys the yoke, imparts the life of God. Everybody say that. I'm anointed. I'm anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. This is one of those things you need to mutter to yourself all the time, especially when things aren't working. Keep saying it. I'm anointed. I'm anointed to do this. I'm anointed to flip these hamburgers. I'm anointed to make these French fries. I'm anointed. I'm anointed by God to do what I'm doing. I'm anointed to be an usher. I'm anointed to be in the preschool. I'm anointed to be in the nursery. I am anointed. I'm anointed to lead. I'm anointed to handle money. I'm anointed to parent, to be a good parent. I'm anointed to be a good husband. Begin to believe it, because you are. The scriptures say that you are. You know, so many times, some of the messages that I come in here and I think, man, this is going to be a great message. I got great illustrations. I got great stories. I got great content. And many times, those are my worst messages. Why is that? Because I'm relying on myself. I've got an impossible job. I was praying about the service today, and we've got people that don't know anything about God, and people that have been saved for a long time, and here I am supposed to minister to all of them. How can you do that? I cannot do that without the anointing. I can stand up here and have the best material and just say it just right and be funny and all these things. The anointing has got to be on it. If the anointing of God's not on it, then it's worthless. Look to God. Trust in Him. God, help me today. Help me to preach. The same anointing that was on Jesus when He preached the good news to the poor. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Everybody say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord, the anointing, is on me. The dunamis power we've talked about. I mean, God has been bringing that word up. Dunamis, miraculous power, great force, great ability, strength, and abundance. The dunamis power was evident in the ministry of Jesus to remove the burden of lack and to destroy the yoke of poverty. Jesus is our example, and He used the anointing for supernatural provision. Look over in Luke chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two boats standing by the lake. Jesus saw two boats standing by the lake. Part of that anointing to increase is to be able to see things. And when He saw those two boats, He saw those two boats filled with fish. That's the way He saw things. And then it goes on to say, after He preaches and He comes back in, He says to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Because He saw those two boats full. The anointing to increase was on Him. The Lord showed Him. He gave a command to Peter. Peter didn't understand it. But he went out and he let down his net. See, Peter didn't see what Jesus saw. He only saw half, part. And even then he didn't even really understand. He was just kind of going half-heartedly, really. But the anointing, this anointing to increase, will help you to see things. If you'll expect it to operate, it'll help you to solve problems. It'll help you to give you direction. It'll help you to see things behind the scenes. Brother Hagin calls this the spirit of seeing and knowing. You need to believe for that in your life and in your ministry, to be able to see behind the scenes, to be able to see what other people don't see. Jesus saw those boats, and He saw something totally different than what Peter saw. Peter saw empty boats. Jesus saw full boats. That anointing to increase, it was upon Him. And it's the same thing for us. We have to believe that we are anointed to increase. We have to believe that whatever we put our hands to will prosper. We have to believe that we're in the right place at the right time. We know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what to say. We have the mind of Christ. You have to talk to yourself. You have to mutter these things. And you have to meditate on these things. And you need to begin to see yourself. So many people, when they read this story, they see themselves as Peter. Someone receiving the miracle. I'm beginning to see myself on the other end speaking the miracle. Because this is the way you're looking at it. And then they see and they read the stories about someone being healed in Jesus' ministry. And they see themselves as the one receiving. That's fine. But if you really want to go on, begin to see yourself as the one laying your hands on the sick and having them recover. If you don't see yourself as someone that can do that, you'll never have any results when you lay hands on people. You got to be able to see it. The anointing will help you see. That's why it's so important to be in services, to be in that corporate anointing, to be where the anointing is, because you can see things. And when you're anointed, you see things crystal clear. And you can see it. Over in Luke chapter 9, we won't read it, but just turn over to John 6. But Luke chapter 9 is about when Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus was taking his disciples to get some rest. But the crowd heard about where they were and followed them. And Jesus preached and there was people healed. And then they were hungry. And the disciples said, well, why don't you send them off so they can go get some lodging and get something to eat. And Jesus said, no, we're going to feed them. And the disciples are starting to freak out. Like, well, how are we going to do this? But look over in John chapter 6. And I want to show you about this anointing increase once again. Verse 6. But this he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. He was responding to the disciples and they were asking, well, what are we supposed to do? He himself knew what he would do. I looked up this word knew, K-N-E-W. I looked it up in the Greek. The word means to perceive. It means to see. He knew what he would do. He saw. God opened his eyes and he saw what to do. He had precedent based on the word of God and under the old covenant. And he saw to sit him in groups of 50, in groups of 100. And he saw what he was going to do with the bread and how he was going to break it and he was going to bless it. God will show you things. He'll let you see things if you'll be faithful, if you'll be trustworthy. If you're someone that will be listen and be obedient to him, you have to start off by being obedient to his word. But if you're someone that can be obedient to his word, then you'll start hearing his voice. And you'll be obedient to his voice. He'll start showing you things. Because he can trust you. He could trust Jesus. That Jesus wasn't going to use his power for his own glory. But to be a blessing. It has happened to me over and over. Again, I expect this. We used to have a banner up at our other building. And it said, anointed to increase. We have talked about this in this church. And I've had it happen over and over again. The last renovation that we had. You know, we were kind of struggling about what to do. We had some empty space. And we didn't really... It was just sitting there. And I'm telling you, I was just seeking God and praying in the Holy Ghost and talking to people and just, God, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, one day, it just dropped in my heart and I saw it. I saw how it needs to be laid out. The anointing. The Spirit of God helped me to see it. David Ingalls called us about a radio station. And at first, I mean, that's the last thing. It's like when we get, you know, we just got a dog. And that's the last thing I need right now is a dog to take care of. But that's what I was thinking about this radio station. This is the last thing I need right now is to start a radio station. I got my hands full as it is. But we prayed about it. And then we began to see it. See ourselves with this station and what it could do. We saw the opportunity. We saw the school for life. We saw this that's happening right now. We saw it before we did it. Same thing with our upcoming building, what we're going to do there. God will show it to us, and we'll be able to see it, and we'll be able to do it. There's an anointing on us to increase, and we expect that anointing. In the Old Testament records many accounts of God's people tapping into his miraculous power to increase. Remember the widow woman with the oil? And the prophet gave her a God idea. Go get some vessels. Borrow as many as you can. And then there was a miracle of increase. But she had to obey the prophet. She had to be someone that hearkened unto the word of the Lord. She was obedient to God. And she did what the man of God said to do. And she got those vessels. And as many as she could get, borrowed all that she could get, filled. They were all filled with oil. And then she went to the man of God and said, what do I need to do now? Go sell it and pay your debt. God idea. Anybody here in debt tonight? You have precedent here for a God idea to pay it off. Many people are just believing for a debt cancellation for some kind of problem with the debt holder's computer. But I see more precedent here in the Word of God for a plan. That God will give you an idea and He'll give you a plan. Thank God for the computer errors. But I'm not basing my prosperity on someone else's computer errors. No man has made me rich but God. And He can get it to you honestly. The power of God and the children of Israel. This is awesome. And allowed them to plunder the Egyptians. Egypt, the wealthiest nation at that time. And I mean, these were slaves. And Moses said, go and ask your masters for their stuff. Their articles of gold, their silver, and their clothing. I don't know about you, these are people that are oppressed, they're beat down, don't have a whole lot of self-esteem. And now they're going to go ask their masters for their stuff. I'm telling you, I'm sure they did it with fear and trembling. But they trusted their man of God, and they plundered them. That is awesome. God idea. Who would ever thought of that? Well, just ask Him for it. Would you have thought of that? I mean, it's like asking for a raise. There you go. God idea. Over in 2 Chronicles, turn over there real quick. Not going to spend a lot of time there. But 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, you know the story. He was facing the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Three big armies, really in the natural. There was no way. But Jehoshaphat did several things. Look in 2 Chronicles 20 in verse 3. This will be a good clue for you if you're facing a test tonight. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. That's underline that. That's a good thing to know. Then look over in verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power in ourselves against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Look to the Lord. He'll help. And you know the rest of the story? The three armies begin to attack each other. They defeated the armies of Israel, didn't even fight. They spent 3 days picking up the spoil. Didn't even break a sweat. The sweatless anointing. The prosperous soul. Let's talk about that. 3 John 2. You will prosper even as your soul prospers. Again, you are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a body. It's your house. It's your tent. But you will prosper as your soul, even as, in proportion to your soul prospering, and in proportion to your mind prospering. The soul is the filter between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. And that's why you have to wash your mind with the Word of God. And Romans 12 talks about the mind being renewed. The filter has to be clear. That's why, again, constantly putting that Word in there. You're tired of hearing it. Sometimes, I mean, you heard this message over and over, talking about faith again. This is my 1,000th message on faith. But you're working on that filter, renewing that mind so that filter is clear, so it can tap into the Spirit and make that connection between the spirit realm and the natural realm. Your financial prosperity is dependent on the prosperity of your soul. If your mind, will, and emotions don't flourish, you won't increase. A prosperous soul will produce a prosperous image on the inside of you. And again, the part of the prosperous soul is getting wisdom. Let's talk about that and we'll finish up with this. A prosperous soul is one that has both knowledge and the understanding of how to apply that knowledge to bring about a desired result. The soul that prospers is a soul that acquires wisdom. In Proverbs 4, it says that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. It should be one of the foremost pursuits of our life to get wisdom. To get wisdom from God. And thank God, you know, again, for training and going to school and different things that I've learned from books and other things. You know, leadership books and all that. But I tell you, my primary source of wisdom is God's Word. And I make a determined effort. It's like for me, you know, I realize I'm not going to find gold out in the backyard by just walking around looking for big gold nuggets sitting on the surface there. I'm going to have to dig. It's going to take some effort on my part to get down there and find where that gold is. And it's the same thing with the Word. You're going to have to dig. I know you don't like this word. You're going to have to study to show yourself approved. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Look what it brings. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. Don't seek the things. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first wisdom. And all things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. What does James chapter 1, verse 5 says? If any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God. And He'll give it to you. Seek, ask, knock. It's an effort on our part. In Luke chapter 11, don't turn there, but Jesus called the Word of God the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God. Every time you're hearing, I mean really hearing, I'm not just talking about, you know, thinking about something else and you got the tape player playing. Every time you hear God's Word and you open yourself to hear that Word, wisdom comes. And with wisdom will come understanding. Over in John 14:26 says, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Every one of us here is baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is another thing. To expect the Holy Spirit to show you things to come. To expect the Holy Spirit to bring up things that you have learned in the past. I've learned a lot of things in the last 20 years. Expect the Holy Spirit to bring it to your remembrance. He will. He'll teach you all things. Something you want to learn about? You want to learn a language? You want to learn about handling money? You want to learn about being a leader? You want to learn about being a father or a mother? The Holy Ghost knows. You want to learn about how to be better on your job? You want to learn how to be a better employee? You want to learn about how being a better employer? God's got wisdom for you. He'll help you. Thank God for all the textbooks. Thank God for the master's degrees and all the other things. But I'm telling you, nothing compares to the wisdom of God. And He will help you. You want to do well in school? You want to make straight A's? He'll help you. Wisdom comes from God. He'll help your mind open up so you can learn. He'll open up your mind so you can remember things. He'll open up your mind so you can think quickly on your feet. He'll help you. He'll enable you. He's wanting to do it for you. But we're believers. We have to believe this. We have to expect this to happen. Now, you're in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 and verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Again, what wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Wisdom is having God's thoughts. You may have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't have wisdom, you won't know how to use it in your life. And that's what wisdom is, the ability to apply knowledge. But I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. What is prudence? Prudence is being cautious. It's being circumspect. It's being careful of the consequences of enterprises. And again, what circumspect is being able to see all around you. The anointing will enable you to see behind you. You know, Walter Payton was a great running back. And one of the things they say about him that made him a great running back is he had outstanding, superior, above average, peripheral vision. And when he was running down the field, he could see further out than most people what was going on around him. Peripheral vision, you know what that is? Being able to see on the sides. And he was able to see. He was able to see that player, and he knew where to move and what to do. Circumspectly, being able to see. Wisdom dwells with prudence. Prudence, being able to see all around you, will attract the wisdom of God. Prudence is being cautious. Prudence is making a plan. Prudence is not leaping out there, not using your brain. Prudence is using your brain. God gave you a brain to use it. That's why in the church, you know, we found out here in the church, when we actually plan an event well, it goes better. That's prudence. Planning. Getting counsel. Talking about things. And if you will be a person like that, you'll attract wisdom to you. Prudence is the bait for wisdom. People say, I'm a money magnet. What we need to start saying is, I'm a wisdom magnet. I attract wisdom. Wisdom comes to me. Wisdom comes to me every day. Because if that happens, you will be a money magnet. And you have to think, as being a prudent person, this decision I'm about to make, how will it affect the other areas of my life? I've told this story before, but there was a story of someone that we know that wanted to be a missionary for God. And I saw the calling on this person. And they wanted to go to another nation and serve God, and they were so excited about it and actually did it. And then they just came back to the United States to get things together, and really they were planning to go back. But right in the middle of this whole thing, this person went out and bought a Lexus automobile. They were working a job, and they just got kind of lost sight of what they were doing, and they bought this car, and it was much more than what they could afford. And so this person had to work more and get more into their job and get some increase in order to pay for this car. And the more they did that, the further they got away from the mission field. That was not a prudent decision, because this decision affected this other area, and they weren't able to do what God told them to do. Prudence counts the cost. This thing that I'm about to do, how will it affect the other areas of my life? Everybody say, I'm prudent. I'll say that with a little more confidence. I'm prudent. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. A critical key to gaining wisdom is careful and thoughtful planning. Let me read the rest of that verse in Proverbs 21, verse 5. But those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Quick to act. Quick to leap out there. Don't think it through. Getting in a hurry. Anybody ever done that? It leads to poverty. Proverbs, let's turn there and we'll close with this. Proverbs 8, verse 21. Proverbs 8, verse 21. That I, God, may cause those who love me. Anybody here love God? This is the heart of the Father tonight. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. So let me just say it again, just so everybody here knows. I never promised you a rose garden. I never said, and don't ever get this out of what Susie and I teach, that this is a get-rich-quick scheme. We believe in showing up on time. We believe in having a good attitude. We believe in working hard. We believe in being strict and thorough in a performance of a duty. This is how we conduct ourselves. We have to make ourselves take a day off. Force ourselves. We are not for sloppy behavior. We are not for being late for work. We are not for taking long lunches and leaving early. We are not for talking back to your boss unless you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. That's not us. And if anyone here thinks that, you don't know me. There is a way. There is a plan. God's got a way for us. But we're going to have to start putting all these things together. And we're going to have to start getting honest with ourselves. Are we being strict and thorough in a performance of a duty? Or are we waiting on our big the lottery? Faithful in what God has given you. What's before you? Put your hand to it and expect God to increase you. You are anointed, but start where you're at. And as you begin to do those things, God's going to prosper you and He's going to give you more. God is the one that promotes. He's the one that promotes. And He will promote a faithful person. He will promote someone that's faithful in what is another man's. You want to have your own? Be faithful in what another man's vision. And then the last thing then, and this is a part of who we are. This is a part of our culture here. We are anointed to increase. Everybody stand up. And let's begin to say that. I am anointed to increase. I have the mind of Christ. Whatever I put my hands to prospers. I am a wisdom magnet. I'm in the right place at the right time. I know what to do. When to do it. How to do it. And what to say when I get there. I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am prosperous. I am rich. I am bright. I'm smart. I'm good looking. And I'm a major blessing. I mean, if you start saying that in the morning, it's like eating your Wheaties before you get out there. You're going to have miracles that day. Begin to mutter those things to yourself and begin to say them, and you will rise to the top. This is our destiny. The favor of the Lord is upon us. The favor of God is upon us. That favor opens doors that the world has said are shut. That anointing gives us God ideas. We're going to be able to see things. You just hang in there. One word from God can change your life forever. One idea can make you a multimillionaire. You just hang in there. Don't give up and don't quit. Desire it. Be determined. Be diligent. Work hard. And it will come. It shall come to pass.